Oh, hi, we're on.
Yeah.
Look, I even forgot to put the
forgot to put the shit up there.
Huh? I forgot to put the shit up here. Yeah, so organized.
We were talking business. We're going to go down and get a new laptop tomorrow. Got that LAN cable coming. We're going to try to improve the graphics because this laptop's just, it's just not really up to the task.
It's anymore. So creaky and ancient. Poor yeah. little Macintosh.
Yeah, we'll just make that one just a graphic design thing.
Yeah, because this has got all my Adobe shit on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a subscription to like the Creative Cloud stuff, Photoshop.
Right.
And that's on my other computer.
Yeah.
I can't really afford all of the programs.
Right.
You know.
Jenny just likes to do graphic design in the Mac
program. In the Mac sphere.
The Mac sphere.
Yeah.
The rest of that shit we can do Microsoft.
I mean, I can do it on PC, but I would rather not.
Is this microphone going? It's turned on?
Yeah, should all be. Right.
Good.
I hope so.
Got to do this review on this fucking weird ass movie we saw last night.
Well, so there wasn't like a shit ton of new ones because I have like, check it out. I have a list of new ones that I've been wanting to watch. Like, I really want to see Come to Daddy with Elijah Wood. Like, that's kind of the main one that I want to see. And I want to see Extraordinary because that one has been on like Rotten Tomatoes as being like the number one, like best horror movie. It's got like 100% positive ratings. It's like a comedy. But for whatever reason, Xbox didn't have either one of them. I think you can rent them on YouTube, but it's kind of a pain in the ass for us to rent on YouTube, at least on the big TV. So we were looking for shit to rent on the Xbox, and this movie came up, and this was kind of the only one that I had seen like other people talking about. So I was like, okay, we'll watch that one. Plus it has like big stars in it. It had like Imelda Staunton in it. You know, she was in the Harry Potter movie. She was in Mike Lee movies. Like, did she win an Oscar or was nominated for an Oscar or something?
Got that girl from Blade Runner who was recording the memories.
Carla Jury. She was in Blade Runner 2049 playing the woman making the memories. So this has like some big famous people in it. Now this kind of like, I'm going to say it's an art flick. Okay. Like kind of, or a prestige horror.
Yeah.
Prestige I guess horror. Is more of a kind of what I'm saying.
It's a weird flick. I liked it. Okay.
This definitely.
I'm going to say some crazy shit about it probably during the review, but don't take it the wrong way. I did like it. This is an art flick in a certain way, but it wasn't as boring as a lot of flicks. It did kind of have like a slow burn for that first maybe 20, 30 minutes about an hour because you're just trying to get grounded on what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, because you don't really know what's going on.
It is weird during that time. And then all of a sudden you think you know what's going on and then the very end you realize you didn't know what was going on. It doesn't flip on you. And it's very hard to review this movie without doing spoilers.
Yeah, and I really don't want to spoil it. Okay. So, like I said,
that was the man tease. I gave you the testosterone tease of the movie because I know some guys just, well, was it any good? That's the first thing they want to know. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I will say that this is, I did not think that you would like this movie.
It has some girl power elements, but you don't find out till the very end. But the way it was told, it was kind of like justice in a certain way or vengeance.
Yeah.
It was a tale of vengeance about about men that do evil is really, you know, and it's got kind of like, if you're into all that paganism shit, you know, like Wicca or not really Wicca, but you know, like, you know, kind of like from the Wicker Man and those other ones where it kind of has, I thought I was dealing with like Christian gods or demons. No, you're dealing with fucking, you know, pagan, ancient European pagan type weird shit.
Pretty much
going on. So
they don't do a lot of backstory, but in a way, I think I liked that about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention that Sandra said that this is our anniversary is coming up because we posted our very first episode on August 23rd, 2016.
The show?
Yeah.
Man, they're keeping track of that shit. That's amazing.
I don't even.
We got some serious fucking fans and some serious fucking patrons.
Funny.
Our Patreon, we're rocking on Patreon. We really fucking appreciate, you know, the help you guys are giving us on Patreon.
Yeah, I mean, especially during this uncertain time.
Yeah, and that first month of streaming that we did made a fucking huge impact in how much money the show made, and that's why we're going
to
get
new, which is why new I can afford to get a new laptop.
Right.
Now.
So, you know, we did pretty good for that first month of streaming. If you guys could keep it up, man, we'd fucking be jacked because we'll just keep building on the show and doing more stuff. Jenny's going to open up some more stuff about book reviews.
And that's what I was going to say. That's why I could also afford to like start building up a little library for like movies. Like I have like all these huge stacks of books back here now.
And
in addition to all the ones that I already had.
If it keeps going the way it's going, we'll be able to come up with some fucking more badass shirt designs that we can give out to patrons and fans. You know what I mean? Fans, you know, have to buy them. Patrons will you know, just give them out. You know what I mean? Fucking quarterly. But we'll come up with some cool shit. You guys are like, you know, shit like this, you know, stuff for the fans. Still want a Cannon shirt.
Yeah, I have it. Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you very much, Matt. Matt, you're a
fucking big contributor. Written down. You wanted a Cannon logo one and like an MTV variation
logo. Like the one from Predator, like Blaine was wearing from fucking Predator.
Yeah, like
one.
The old school
logo. One. Yeah,
even the one with like a little astronaut on it would be kind of cute.
Yeah, well, I'd like this. I'd like one exactly like Blaine had in Predator.
Okay.
So it's like a Predator MTV shirt with fucking a 13 o'clock label on the back of it.
Okay, I can do that.
So, you know. They'll understand it. Fucking fans will understand it.
Mango Badger says, I love the live stream. So glad you started doing them.
Yeah.
I was really reluctant because I was just kind of like, God damn it. It's like, we're going to run out of stuff to talk about. I'm going to be sitting there going, and it's going to be like horrifying. But actually, once we started rolling and doing them,
they're better.
I like them a lot better. It's like, like I said, it's less video editing for me to do. I don't know. I just feel more relaxed doing them, which is dumb because when I do shit on video, I can edit stupid shit out. But it's
Jenny doesn't really have a theater background as strong as mine, I guess. Me doing fucking.
I used to sing in a choir.
She sang in a choir, but when I was in high school, you know, I did live theater. And for me, it was always normal to be in front of a live audience. And I feed off of it more, you know. And in the Army, you're in front of the live audience all the time, your damn unit. So it's very normal for me to talk to lots of people at once. And doing the conventions. Remember how easy it was to do conventions, speaking at the conventions?
Yeah.
You know,
easier the more you do it.
Yeah. I think Jenny got comfortable with it with only in an hour or so.
Yeah, I was super nervous at first. Like my stomach was upset and everything because I was like, oh God, I gotta talk and bring all these people and what's the wife? I'm gonna sound really stupid.
Once you start interacting with I don't want to call them fans. It's not really the way it is. You know, it's kind of like we're professional friends now, you know, that's really what.
That sounds kind of dirty.
That's kind of what YouTubers are. And that's why we had an advantage over television and fucking television and movie celebrities. You can't interact with them. You know, you're going to interact with us. And it's a lot more personalized experience. They have a hard time. Did you see Johnny Depp try to become a damn YouTuber? It was fucking ridiculous.
Like I said, why would I watch that?
They're not used to that. They're not used to it.
Why would I watch that?
Fucking ridiculous.
Well, the thing about us, though, too, is that, I mean, we sit around watching, like, Gordon Ramsay and watching horror movies and stuff like that at night and, like, making snarky-ass comments. Yeah. So, really, you're just kind of seeing what we normally act like, I guess, most of the time.
Yeah, if any of you guys ever want to become a YouTuber, my advice is always just be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. People will see right through that. You just got to be your fucking self. And, you know, I got to put a filter on sometimes, you know, because I'm in front of a fucking mixed audience of people. And I know that not everybody's going to agree with everything that I say. So I don't want to offend other people. But I am going to go out there and say some shit.
I mean, you want the show to be fun.
It's got
to
be fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It can't be totally sanitized or G-rated. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be able to do
that. It'd be boring.
Even if I wanted to.
That's what you're getting when you watched fucking corporate television. You know what I mean? It's fucking boring. So they can't really compete with us. We're putting their asses out of business because there's so many of us. You know? It's a human wave assault against fucking the old school media. We're the punk rockers of the new age. It was just like punk rock.
Well, and the punk rockers of the old age.
Yeah, exactly. Right. When punk rock showed up, it just changed so much stuff. But
like I said, it gives you like the ability to do something. You know, it puts all the technology right in your hands and you can do shit that only like you before, you know, you needed a shit ton of money to do it.
Yeah. Somebody's saying Tom is a thespian actor. That's what I was. I was. It kind of broke me of fucking the respect of actors once you've done it, been around them and see where that scene goes. They're fucking fake.
Fake. I don't think I could ever. I liked singing and stuff, even though I was always really nervous doing it in front of people. But I don't think I could ever be an actor because I'm not good at pretending. Like, I'm not good at lying. I'm not like pretending to be something I'm not. I'm just really not good at that.
Yeah, well, it's bad for your mental health, though, because if you stay stay like that too long, you're just a faker. And you're just always pretending to be.
Well, yeah, you like lose your identity.
And they don't build an identity. That's why
I could totally see how that would happen.
That's why people busting on Tom Cruise about how crazy he is jumping up on couches and doing Scientology and shit. I can understand why Scientology attracted him. At least it was something that was happening kind of in the real world. Yeah, they're fucking LARPing, but that's not that's not the experience he had. Scientology gave him the fucking a very expensive experience, you know. That bitch can fucking ride motorcycles and fly helicopters, and he works out and fucking, you know, he does his own stunts. So I respect him more, actually, than your average fucking.
Well, yeah, at least he does do he was doing most shit. Of his own shit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
But yeah, so let's get back to talking about,
that.
So like
I said, Tom talking smack the best part of the show. They're saying all kinds of stuff. Yeah, they're feeling it. They're feeling us.
Well, yeah. And like I said, we get to talk to you guys in real time, you know, even though we're not on here every day, we're on here like several days a week. So you can always drop in and see what we're up to. But yeah, so this was actually the first film written and directed by Romola Garai. Hopefully I pronounced her name right. And like I said, there's some big stars in this. This, I think it premiered, was that Thunder?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
Something else, huh?
Yeah. That's, you know, it's summer. Why am I surprised? I don't know. But yeah, so it premiered at Sundance earlier this year, and then it came to VOD in July on July 24th. So only like a few days ago. So the setup of the story is there's this guy named Tomas, and he is, he's from some unspecified country.
It's somewhere in Eastern Europe.
I think it's Eastern Europe. Looks from like, the accent, I'm not really sure.
Well, based on the uniform and the weapon that he had, it was some kind of Eastern European country, some, you know, somewhere in the Balkans. And he was a veteran of one of those
of some war. So he was like a refugee and he had come to the UK.
Yeah.
And he was homeless. Like he was living in a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And it so ends up, so he's at this homeless shelter. He keeps having like these flashbacks of shit that happened in his, as I said, unspecified home country, where he was working as this guard, like it was this guard shack, guard booth, really. And it was just out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like there was nothing. It was just like woods and a road and that was it. And he just kind of sat there with his fucking gun. And that was like all there was to it. So you didn't really know like where he was coming from, what war he was fighting and what side he was on or anything like that.
Yeah, it was an AK-74U.
Crinkle. The country of Blankistan. That's exactly Blankistan, what it was. Yeah. It was Blankistan. So then apparently at some point he comes to the UK. I believe.
God damn, it's tearing up out there.
It is, yeah. I believe it was 2 years. I think he said it was 2 years that he'd been in England. And he's living in a homeless camp. The homeless camp gets set on fire one night. And so he ends up living with, he gets approached by Imelda Staunton's character, who is a nun. And she says, hey, you know, I live in this kind of ramshackle house. If you want to work on the house, because he said he was a builder. And he's like, if you want to work on the house and fix it up, you can work there for free. So sounds too good to be true. Turns out, as most things that sound too good to be true are, it is. You know what I mean? So so he goes there, and it turns out that not only does this nun live there, but there's also this girl that lives there, a young woman. She's not a girl.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. It's the same one from Blade Runner.
Yeah, she's like I said, she was from Blade Runner 2049.
Cute voice.
And it was funny because as soon as we saw her, like Tom was like, man, I recognize her. And I was like, God, that voice. It's like, I said, we just saw her in something just recently.
She played Decker's daughter.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a
spoiler alert if you haven't seen Blade Runner 2049. But
if you haven't seen that by now, then you check the fuck off the channel. Check the fuck off the channel. You know? If you haven't seen Blade Runner 2 no, you can unsubscribe. Go ahead. I just hope the new Dune is good.
I know. I know you always open that.
I know, man.
But yeah, so there's this young woman who also lives there named Magda, and reportedly, supposedly, allegedly, killing mother that lives up in the attic. And sometimes there's kind of screaming and scratching coming from up there. And
yeah, there's somebody up there in that top floor. It's pretty creepy because there's stains on the ceiling and shit. And it's a cruddy ass damn house, you know, But as it's going on, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what is that seeping through the fucking ceiling? You know, is that piss and shit and stuff? And you find out fucking that this woman's up there, man, she's in nasty fucking shape. And she's crazy as hell. There's something wrong with her. And he's asking her, he's like, what's exactly wrong with her? And he doesn't really get a straight answer. It's just a fucking creepy ass
movie. It's a weird movie. Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? Like, the director said that she was kind of inspired by The Babadook, although this doesn't really remind me of The Babadook at all.
It's a lot better than Babadook.
I liked The Babadook a lot, but this doesn't really remind me of that. She did say that another inspiration was Under the Shadow, which was an awesome movie. It might still be on Netflix. That's where I saw it, but that was like quite a while ago. Which was an Iranian movie, and about like this woman and this kid like in this building that like a missile hit, and there's like a djinn. So that one is kind of, I can see that. But you know, I know this is going to be kind of weird, but you know what movie this reminded me of the most was, I don't know if you guys have seen, there was like a Turkish horror movie. I think it came out in 2014 or 2015 called Baskin, and it's very kind of surrealist. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was really fucking weird. It was awesome, but it was like really, really fucking weird. And this kind of reminded me of that, like tonally, thematically a little bit. I think that one was a little more Hellraiser-y. This one is not really like that. This one is like, I think the reason that you liked this one so much, and you don't usually like these kind of arty slow burn type of disjointed, weird kind of movies, is that you know something bad is happening, but for a long time, you don't know what it is. So it's like, you just see like these really creepy, like, why does Magda have like a bite on her arm? Why is, you know, why are they so like intent on making him eat this meat? Like, what's in there? Like, what, there's all these like little things that are like conspiring, and you don't know for a really long time what's going on. And I can assure you that you will not guess what is going on.
Yeah, you don't find out till the end. And it's some pretty fucking weird shit. It, to me, the movie kind of reminded me of a more modernized, updated version of The Legacy, where you have some people together. Some of them are kind of like religious figures, and some weird shit fucking happens. It's not a series of murders, but it's a series of events that happen. And you can't really, it's not right, but you can't really put your finger on it. But it all starts to fall into place as you find out more. It's a cruddy ass fucking house that he's in, and it's kind of creepy. I can't talk about it. It'll fucking spoil it.
That's what I mean. I really don't.
It all starts coming together in that final 20, 30 minutes of the damn move. And you're like, oh, that's what this was. You know, it's just,
and like I
it's
said,
pretty good.
And I can assure you that you will not guess.
No, we were trying to figure it out.
It is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to fool us. And I was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? There's some shit. This comes right out of left field.
What the fuck? The movie. But it makes sense though.
Makes sense.
I mean, when you go back, and this is definitely one that I think would benefit from a second viewing, so you could like catch all the stuff that was happening. Cause when you don't really know what's going on, you're like, what does that mean? Why is that like that?
If you liked Midsommar or fucking Wicker Man. And what was the other one that was like that with the damn satanic kid? I fell asleep in it actually at the theater. I didn't like it.
Oh, Hereditary.
Hereditary.
I loved Hereditary.
Kind of like that, but better.
In fact, I loved Hereditary so much that I'm kind of scared to watch it again because it like bothered me so much.
I didn't like Hereditary. I guess I had inappropriate responses to it, but evidently pretty common because I heard people on the reviews saying that, oh, people laughing at inappropriate times on the Hereditary. And I was like, that must have been me.
Yeah, it
was. Or there was a bunch of other people that laughed at it in what they called inappropriate.
Well, like I said, it depends on how you, and we've talked about this
like
before.
When that little girl's head got smashed off
again,
by the car, I laughed, but that was I just thought I didn't like the kid. So I just laughed, you know? And
well, I don't think you were supposed to like the kid because she was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't like the kid when the kid's head got smashed off.
But it was just like,
but a lot of people laughed evidently.
Well, it was a shocking moment. Like the way, and I really, really love the way they did that sequence. Yeah. Like, because it wasn't a jump scare. It was just kind of like, hey, check it out.
And then like the fucking crawling around on the ceiling, to me, I just laughed at it. But other people were creeped out by it.
I thought it was very creepy.
That was just my reaction.
And it was one of those ones too, where if you go back and watch it again, like there's cult members like everywhere in that movie and you don't see them. Like they put them in the background. There's like all this shit going on in the background.
I'd have to see it again. I just got turned off by the damn movie early on. I think we're talking about
Hereditary.
Yeah. Hereditary. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got turned off by it early.
I love that movie. I really did like that.
I started to shut down and it fell asleep at a couple spots.
I think that was one of the best. I mean, yeah. I know that was one of the best horror movies that I saw in the last 10 years.
That movie, Midsommar, which a lot of people didn't like, but I liked it.
I loved Hereditary or Midsommar also.
And fucking Wicker Man are all kind of slightly in this same genre.
Yeah, because this has a pagan-y.
It's got a pagan kind of quality.
Veneer.
But it's a horror movie. It's not really like, I would say out of all of them, it'd be closer to Hereditary.
Yeah. Right. And like I said, if you saw that Turkish movie Baskin, if you saw Under the Shadow, which was a co-Iranian-British production about a djinn, that thematically was kind of similar, or, you know, tonally was kind of similar. So if you liked those, you would probably like this.
Yeah.
I feel like from what I could see just of a quick, look over of the reviews and stuff, looks like about 75% positive reviews.
Yeah. If you liked Hereditary, you'd like this, but my caveat is that I didn't like Hereditary, but I liked this.
Yeah.
But the difference is that I think the storytelling in this is better.
Yeah.
Than Hereditary.
Although I will say that when it first started, like I was intrigued, but it is a little disjointed.
You gotta wait.
But this is one you really kind of have to pay attention to, because it seems like every single thing means something.
You guys know me. My tastes are kind of childlike. You know what I mean? I got that. I got that 4 or 5 minute.
He likes the tater tot movies.
Right. I got that 4 or 5 minute rule where if I'm not really pulled into it within 4 or 5 minutes, I'm never going to be pulled into that movie. Well, this one kept me interested. So,
and I was surprised. Yeah. I didn't think it would, but it did.
There were a couple times I looked at my fucking tablet, you know, because I knew what they were doing. I thought I did, you know what I mean? But later on, as it got a little more, as things started to pick up, you know, I was paying attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to it. I didn't, wasn't always watching it. It wasn't real visual until later.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, don't expect any kind of visual stuff until you're like maybe 15, 20 minutes into it.
And it almost at the end, it almost goes like giallo gory.
Yeah. It's visual towards the end. You're like, what the fuck? The situational horror.
Yeah. And like I said, it goes crazy pants.
And it doesn't fucking spell it out.
This is a movie you need to interpret.
Then there's all these fucking implications of what that means, of what they're doing. It's just weird, man. It's weird. It was good, though.
Thomas Carlyle says, the film long? I think it was about an hour and 40, so not super long. Yeah,
it's not that long.
And it didn't really, I mean, it didn't seem that long to me, but, you know, I get your mileage may vary. Dude's I think it was an hour and 40 minutes.
Dude's getting all into this chick, you know? But she's fucking weird. You know, and he's not really sure why. And then he finds out this situation. And, man, it's just weird. It gets even weirder. You have to see.
I really did like. I like this movie. Because, like, as soon as the credits came on, I was like, ooh, I like that. It was weird.
Yeah.
I liked the weird-ass music they had, too. Thank you, Mango Badger.
Thank you very much.
Flashbulb for all the lovers of
all them damn flashbulbs. Flashbulbs at the airport.
Okay.
Hey, getting off the plane and they're taking pictures of you.
Yeah, like the paparazzi.
You've arrived. Yeah. Flashbulbs at the airport, just like at an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see some flashbulbs.
You remember when you actually had those cameras where you had to snap the little flash cube on there?
Yeah. And it turned.
Yeah.
When you fucking advanced the film, it turned.
Well, and all the young people are going, what the fuck are you talking about?
You had to change the cube out.
Yeah.
Fucking nasty.
Because, you know, it was just like back in the fucking old days, like in the 19th century when photography was first invented, and you could only use the flash one time because it was like pow and it broke. And it was kind of like the same thing, only like in little cube form. So you could only use it once because it was like pop and it was like gone.
I could tell people now those flash cubes are what the fucking Unabomber used as a fucking igniter to set the bomb off.
Yep.
Took that shit apart and get those filaments out of there. Yeah, but that's what
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Thomas Carlyle said, if Tom isn't impressed within 4 minutes, wow, tough crowd. Yeah. He is a tough crowd. Yeah. Well, all on his own.
No, I just noticed that if I'm not pulled into the movie within 4 or 5 minutes, then the movie will never pull me
into it. Then he won't get pulled into it. He has to pretty much like be
right
from the get-go.
It has to be right from the get-go. If it's not, then it's a type of storytelling I don't like.
Yeah.
And I'll never get interested in the movie. And that's just the truth of the matter. And that 4 or 5 minute rule has been consistently correct.
It used to be a 10 minute rule.
Yeah.
But you're getting less patient as you get older.
Getting less patient. Watching all those damn, well, we had that fucking AMC A-list before AMC went under. For a year, it was a year and a half, maybe about a year. We overdosed on all those fucking movies. And you, real quickly, after about 4 or 5 months, you start to realize that most of these movies are shit.
Well, I think the problem too was that we were trying to make up the quota because we wanted movies to review. So there weren't always like horror movies or sci-fi movies or movies we wanted to see. We ended up going to see a bunch of shit that we didn't really care about, like fucking dog movies and stupid rom-coms and shit like that. It's like, I don't want to watch that shit.
Most of them were fucking shit.
And then and then after a while, we're like, why are we even doing that to ourselves?
Yeah,
it's like,
it was abusive. Yeah, I challenge you to go get fucking AMC A-list and use that shit up. You fucking can't take it.
It might be better in...
We were just using it to get out of the house.
Yeah, and sometimes if we really liked a movie, we'd go see it twice.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to pay again, which was nice. But it's like,
I
mean, it's probably better like in a big city where they actually get more indie movies or more movies. I mean, we're in the middle of like Central Florida and we only get like the real big movies. And if you don't really want to see any of those, then you're kind of hosed because you're not going to get... Any of the really weird ones.
Some of the ones that we saw that were good, you know, like the John Wick, that was good. You know, the Marvel movies, they're good, but then you forget them as soon as they're over. You're like, what the fuck happened in that movie? And, you know, it's just... But then a lot of them are just like, shit, you know. But some of them were very surprising, you know, like Art of Self-Defense. I fucking loved it.
Which, like I said, that was another one that I didn't think that you would like.
Man, I fucking love that movie. I want that bitch on Blu-ray. If you guys want to give me a birthday present.
And we've watched it again since then.
If you guys want to give me a birthday present or something, man, you fucking send me Art of Self-Defense on Blu-ray. That was one of them I want.
Rick Shaw says, if this movie's opening credits, don't pull me in. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, what ends up happening...
It's going to get to that point, I think.
What ends up happening is that you can watch so many new movies as they come out is that you just kind of fucking detect the bullshit early. I got like, you know, the Gretel and Hansel one.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to be shit. But what was weird is that it was a mixed bag of shit. It could have been great, but it wasn't.
I liked it, but
it had elements of greatness, but it wasn't. It wasn't great. It didn't give you enough of what was great about the movie. What was great about the movie was the fucking witch.
Was the witch, yeah.
And when she was fucking, when she'd get pretty and look all naked and shit and all the weird special effects. And there should have been a lot of that. They should have turned that bitch into an action movie. Okay.
Well, they already made a Hansel and Gretel action movie.
Should have been an action movie.
I don't think that was very good, but it should have been
action horror.
Yeah.
You know? But the way the witch's house looked and shit, it just... It was good, you know, but but then it kind of had a wrap around, and then there was the hunter, and it's like, get the fuck out of here. What happened was, is that the traditional elements of Hansel and Gretel were forced into the story. And those were the worst parts of the story. What was best was the fucking shit that the director had pulled out of his ass.
Yeah.
It should not have been Hansel and Gretel. It should have just been a story about that witch.
Been a witch story.
A witch story, yeah.
Because there's not enough witch stories, are there?
No. It should have been a monster movie about a damn witch.
I dig witches. And I especially dig, like, old school witches.
Yeah.
Like the grody ones that, like, turn you into frogs and shit.
Well, she was everything, though.
Yeah. And that was the chick that was in Ghost Story when she was young.
Yeah.
Alice Creege, I think her name
was. And all the fucking cannibalism in that story was fucking weird, you know? And then talking about turning her into a witch and eating the boy.
And that boy did look delicious.
Yeah,
to be fair.
And it was fucking awesome. but there just wasn't enough of it.
Oracle Munn says, have you seen The Vast of Night yet? I haven't, but it's on my list. I really want to see that next. I've heard that was like really, really excellent. That's sci-fi. That's a new sci-fi movie.
But in our experience with AMC, Hollywood doesn't deliver. It's half-ass most of the time. In general, it doesn't deliver. It doesn't really give the audience what they want to see. It's pulling too many punches. It's a bunch of bullshit with a very few exceptions. Like the Quentin Tarantino movie gave the audience exactly what they wanted to see. That was a fucking good Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I'm not a big Tarantino fan. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was a really good movie.
Well, that was easily one of the best movies we saw last year. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it a lot. All right, so we've been going for half an hour. Yeah. Probably it seems like our power is going to go out.
Yeah, I got shit I got to do.
Because it's storming really, really bad, and I'm getting like a little bit scared. All right, so we're going to knock it off for the day. And I think our next live stream will be for the regular episode Saturday night, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see you guys Saturday. Like I said, there'll still be stuff. Witching Hours going up tomorrow. Movie review will go up Friday. And then we'll see you guys on Saturday night for the main show. So we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.